Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation this day, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, as it was read a moment ago. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, the question seems not a very Lutheran one. Much more Calvinistic, don't you think? What then shall we do? For we Lutherans don't like to preach about doing. We like to preach about being. What are we? We are the redeemed children of God. We are the ones for whom Jesus died. We are the poor sinners covered by God's grace, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It is not about doing, it is about being. For after all, it is God's doing that brings about our being. It is God's action in Jesus' birth, suffering, death, and resurrection that makes us who we are. And especially in the season of Advent, as we prepare for God's great gift, the mystery of the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, we ponder not our action, but God's action. For he saw us sinners and devised a means to bring us from the bondage of sin into the joy of the gospel through the most improbable of means, by a pure virgin bearing a son, his son, to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And this grace-filled event causes us to contemplate in awe the sublime grace and mercy of God manifested to us in his miraculous birth. But this text doesn't let us sit back in quiet contemplation and simply reflect on the grace of God and give thanks for his mercy to us. Three times it repeats the question of the crowd. What then shall we do? And every Lutheran bone in our body wants to cry out, wrong question. Some 35 years ago, I was sitting in chapel at another Missouri Synod seminary in another city when the preacher was trying to demonstrate grace by having students at a given point in the sermon drop a bunch of dollar bills from the balcony onto the floor below. And as the students picked them off the floor, the professor said, "And that's grace. You did nothing to deserve those dollar bills." That afternoon, I had confessions class with the sainted Dr. Robert Preuss, and looking always to keep our doctrine pure, he commented in our discussion of that sermon, "No, it wasn't grace. That was semi-Pelagianism. The students had to lean over to pick up the dollar bills." Had they fallen into their pockets, that would have been grace. The point being, of course, that we don't do anything to cooperate in our salvation. Absolutely nothing. What then shall we do? Wrong question. What has God done for us, right? Well, that depends. It depends whether you're talking about justification or the life that follows conversion, the life of sanctification. Who's asking the question in the text? And just what are they asking? Are they people asking how they may be saved? Are they incipient Romanists expecting an answer that tells them that they'll be saved by their works? Luke tells us that John was preaching a baptism of repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. He reports that multitudes were going out to be baptized by him. And Matthew, in his parallel account, shows that John's preaching was having an effect because they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. And it is following this, and after they hear John excoriating the Pharisees and Sadducees that were mixed in that crowd, that those who had come with open hearts asked the question, "What then shall we do?" They are not asking, "How do we earn our salvation?" These are people who have discovered their being, that they are sinners in need of repentance, whose hearts are to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. They are asking the question, how do we bring forth the fruits of repentance? How do we who have heard your message, who have confessed our sins, who have been baptized unto repentance to the forgiveness of sins, how do we now live? What then shall we do? Dr. Just, in his commentary, suggests that John's answer to the crowd can be summed up in two words: be generous. Let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none, and let him who has food do likewise. A simple answer, to be sure, but one which shows a willingness on a human level to let love towards one's neighbor be the guiding principle of how to conduct our lives. To the tax collectors who ask the same question, John responds, "Collect no more than you have been authorized to." Again, a simple answer, but one that reflects fairness. And to the soldiers who ask, he responds, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." Again, simple answers, but answers that suggest fairness and contentment with that which God provides. In his ministry, Jesus frequently spoke of doing. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Which of these was neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? Go and do thou likewise. The people are not asking, nor is John answering, how they may earn their salvation. But what he is saying is, let your doing reflect your being. You who have come in repentance, confessing your sins, prepare your hearts to give entrance to the one who comes after me by showing the fruits of repentance. What then shall we do? We who have seen the revelation of God in Christ Jesus, we who are the redeemed of God, no less than John's hearers, we are to do the things of God, to love our neighbor, to offer the cup of water in Jesus' name, to bind the wounds and heal the hurts and soothe the bruised spirits of people who have suffered the results of living in a fallen world, to offer the love and tender compassion of our God by how you model those attributes in your life. Show the fruits of repentance. Let your doing reflect your being. And that non-Lutheran question won't trouble your Lutheran minds. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.